Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Fantasy Football Report. This is Manny Perez. Follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez DFFR, like Manny Ramirez, like Salvador Perez DFFR for the Daily Fantasy Football Report. Well, I'm super excited this week to bring you the Week 2 forecast. Now that the preseason of DFS Week 1 is over, we get to see what the guys look like actually on the field. And we get to see whether to buy in on players, maybe the certain player overhyped, and forecast this week's matchup. So let's get started. My number one quarterback that I think is going to have the best day is Cam Newton. Even though he's at $9,000, which is pretty expensive for a QB, I personally think he's going to be the number one guy. Newton was a popular pick last week if you did the Thursday matchups. But you have to remember that he went up against the Broncos, who still have a really good defense, and now he's going against the 49ers. And there's just a pretty big gap between Case Keenum and Cam Newton. Also, Carolina's favored by around 13 points in that game, so give me some of Cam. I've been getting questions all week so far of the highest point scoring game over-under. I saw as high as 53, and that is the New Orleans Saints against the New York Giants. And the quarterback matchup that everybody's asking about, whether to pick Breeze or Manning. Breeze is obviously the most more expensive of the two. And that being said, I'm going to go with Eli Manning. I know he didn't put up the most yardage against the Dallas. However, he did throw for 3 touchdowns. And last year, if you remember in that game against New Orleans, in New Orleans, he did throw for 350 yards, 6 touchdowns. The game is at New York. Derek Carr had a good week for 319 passing yards and a little over 22 points. So you know what? Give me Manning of the two. Another guy that I'm big on is Derek Carr. I was big on Derek Carr last year. I mean, hey, there's certain guys like this one and the one I'm going to mention afterwards, and actually the one that is either value, contrarian. Everybody has their own opinion on that one. But Derek Carr, he was one of the guys I had last week in one of my lineups. Like I said before, 319 yards against the Saints. And this week's matchup against Jacksonville, here's an interesting stat for you. Carr at home has thrown 15 touchdowns in his last 7 games in Oakland. So that's about 2 touchdowns a game. And so Carr is one of the favorites. Also, Matthew Stafford. I had Stafford last week, and I had him on my team and the winning cash lineup. And once again, I just love, I think Matt Stafford is underrated right now since the offense coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, took over. He's averaged a little over 20 fantasy points per game. And that includes now 23 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions. He's been solid at home under Cooter, tossing 9 touchdowns in his last 3 starts. Give me some of Matthew Stafford. He's on my team this week. Now, here's the name you could think I'm all in. It was 1 week, and it's not who you may think. It's not Carson Wentz, but famous Jameis Winston. Everybody has their own opinions just because he's playing Arizona at Arizona. And people are going to say, oh, well, Arizona is going to not want to lose again and be embarrassed like they were against Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you just look at it closely, Jimmy Garoppolo played okay at best, and he still managed 264 yards and a touchdown with no Rob Gronkowski, with no offensive line, and a so-called subpar defense. So that being said, he had a decent, pretty good game against Atlanta. If this is his year, I'm big on Jameis Winston this year. I don't foresee a sophomore slump. I'm all in on famous Jameis, the guy that could be a sleeper, could be a sit. I'm not playing him. I'm staying away because I'm afraid to just choose this guy just because of the guys I mentioned before. But I did preview him, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz figures to be a popular play this week. He looked great against Cleveland. However, it's Cleveland. I mean, the challenge of going against Chicago is not that much more difficult. However, first game under the bright lights of Monday Night Football. Yeah, I want to see it to believe it. Like I said, there's other guys that I like ahead of them. Guys that I'm staying away from this week. Alex Smith, he was the number 3-point getter last week with the Chiefs. I think that was more the fact that the Chiefs were dominated, needed to come back, throw the ball. And yeah, I'm staying away from Alex Smith. I'm also staying away from Matt Ryan. Just not a big Matt Ryan believer, haven't been last year. And there's nothing in the stats that prove us otherwise. And another one is Russell Wilson, because how can a mobile quarterback be mobile if he has a potential ankle sprain? No thanks. Even if he plays this week, to me it's just not worth having him in your lineup when there's just so many other good matchups instead. Now let's jump into running backs. I had a debate amongst myself of who should be the number one guy. I like two guys in particular. It is actually not Spencer Ware, who I do like. It is Lamar Miller. Miller should repeat this week workload-wise, and he's going against the Chiefs D that, if you watch that game, Melvin Gordon and little Danny Woodhead just ran the ball, combined 150 rushing yards for them against the Chiefs. Lamar Miller, I think Lamar Miller could have the best week this week. The other guy I was debating at number two was C.J. Anderson. And C.J. Anderson, most people don't play the Thursday night, but if you do and you had him, good for you, because he went off with the two touchdowns over the Panthers. And he saw 48 snaps compared to 6 for rookie Devontae Booker. So C.J. Anderson looks like the true featured back on that team. Gary Kubiak, I mentioned week one. Gary Kubiak does run the ball. And if you watch the, if you listen to the recap, I told you whether they're up, they're running, and whether they're down like they were against Carolina into the half, they're going to stick with the run. So C.J. Anderson, I mean, could very well be the number one guy too. The most solid choice if you're going to pay up for running back this week is David Johnson. David Johnson is going to have a tough matchup against the Bucs, who only allowed 52 rushing yards in week one. But he's going to get more touches of any running back, I think, this week. So he is your safe bet if you want to spend up. Spencer Ware, right now, it is Wednesday night. I'm recording this, so it's probably this is going to hit Thursday. As of now, Jamaal Charles is still listed as doubtful, aka not playing in the NFL and out. So as long as Jamaal Charles is still doubtful, Spencer Ware absolutely would pick up again. He's one of the guys that I would buy in for the hype. Only concern is everybody bought in last week and everybody hit, so why not do it again? Another guy, and I just don't know whether he's going to get a lot of play or not, but a name you know, is Jonathan Stewart. He's another guy I like this week. Stewart struggled with the tough Broncos defense, but actually he wasn't bad, averaging 4.3 yards on his 15 touches. So, going against San Francisco, once again, Carolina is favored by 13.5. Even though they stop Todd Gurley, you know, once again, when you don't have to worry about a quarterback like Casey Keenum, of course, your one job is to stop the run, which they did. Now you have Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen, too many weapons on that team just to just focus on stopping the run. So, hey, I mean, it all starts with Cam, but you're favored by 13 points again. So I think Jonathan Stewart is going to have at least a touchdown here. Another guy that's I liked last week that I like this week, he fell, I believe, number 12 outside the top 10, was Ryan Matthews. He put up a nice stat line over the win against the Browns, and most importantly is he led the Eagles in carries with 22, which was 17 more than the next highest total in his position. Darren Sproles meaning having five. So, and he also has a favorable matchup Monday night against the Chicago run D. So I like me some Ryan Matthews. If I think there's a bounce back running back, I was big on Peterson, let down with 31 yards against Tennessee. And the interesting note here with Adrian Peterson is he's not going to get a lot of play because they're going against their rival in Green Bay. But and Green Bay did only allow 48 rushing yards to T.J. Yeldon and Jacksonville. But historically, Adrian Peterson has had a very successful career against the Packers. He actually averages 110 yards a game for his career against Green Bay. So more reason to take him right there. And then if I was to say another bounce back candidate, not as big as Peterson, would be Ezekiel Elliott, because there's no way the Cowboys are going to win a game with Dak Prescott throwing 45 times. So if I was Dallas, I would get Elliott the ball at least 20 attempts in this game coming up against Washington. The sleepers. There's a couple sleepers that I like. One is Jeremy Langford. And even though Jeremy Langford's stat line last week was you do have to remember he was going against the Houston defense at Houston. The reason why I like Jeremy Langford is he's got a good matchup against Philadelphia, who allowed 84 rushing yards on 15 carries to Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson in week one. But here's the stat for you if you want to play Langford. He's a three-down back. He played 96% of Chicago's offensive snaps and out-touched backup Kadeem Carey 19-1. So I don't see anything to change. I see similar workhorse cowbell touches against a favorable matchup with the Eagles. Another guy I briefly mentioned was T.J. Yeldon. And, Chris Ivory reports came out that he was released today from the hospital. So I hope he's doing well and has a speedy recovery. So, this injury or illness is undisclosed. So, you have to keep an eye on his status. So if Chris Ivory is out again, T.J. Yeldon could be a sleeper. Even though he didn't get much running room against the Packers, he only averaged 1.9 yards a carry, but he had 21 carries and 4 receptions on 6 targets with the 1 rushing touchdown. So once again, if Ivory is out, look for Yeldon to get similar about 25 touches against the San Diego that was just dominated by Spencer Ware. All right, running backs that I'm sitting this week. One is Todd Gurley, just because I know even though his price has dropped, he's still very talented. It's not that I don't believe in the talent. It's just with Casey Keenum, the Rams are just vanilla, and every team is going to have 8 in the box lined up to stop Todd Gurley because nobody's afraid of Casey Keenum. Thomas Rawls, even though Thomas Rawls was reported today to be the starter for Seattle, his numbers were pretty much a complete timeshare with Christine Michaels. So, even though he may be fully recovered, I'm still staying away. And here are some guys that finish high in week one that I'm not buying in the hype. One is Amir Abdullah. Titans held Peterson to 31 yards, and they were 7th last year against the run. And then Melvin Gordon because of the bad matchup. And I'm actually staying away from Doug Martin this week just because of the matchup. Now, going into receivers, the number one guy on my list is actually A.J. Green. The guy had 43% target share. Everybody knew Dalton's going to throw to Green, but watching that game, his catch radius was redonkulous. He was catching it a centimeter off the ground, high, left, right. It didn't matter, and he bailed Dalton out huge in that game. He had 13 targets, caught 12, and had an easy 180-yard day with a touchdown. So going against the Steelers, even though it's a divisional matchup, and usually these you know, everybody likes to think of divisional matchups as low scoring affairs. There's no reason why Andy Dalton's going to stop throwing him the balls against the Steelers. And then here's some guys also at the top of my list that I like. Amari Cooper with the Raiders, just because, once again, one of the higher scoring games of the day. Give me some of that action. So give me some Amari Cooper. Once again, double-digit target. So, you know, expect that every weekend, week out. Mike Evans also is on the list just for that same reason, for the high-scoring game. And another name that I like that doesn't get a lot of attention is Alshon Jeffrey. Even though Cutler's numbers are mediocre at best, he's still, his favorite target is still Alshon Jeffrey, and he still looked every bit healthy in week one and still looked pretty dominant. So give me some Alshon Jeffrey if you want a guy that is going to fly under the radar. Now, going into the New Orleans Giants game, I mentioned Breeze and Manning. Out of Cooks versus Snead, give me some Willie Snead. Here, it's just a better price, and he's in the better position of the two. It's tough to say when you have DRC, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, and Janoris Jenkins, of which is going to have the easier of the two. But Willie Snead, if they continue to put him in the slot, the Giants played a lot of cover two defense and clogged the middle for Ezekiel Elliott. So if they plan to not get beat over the middle, get beat deep, give me some Willie Snead to get some targets around the middle. So, he is my guy versus Brandon Cooks. I still like Brandon Cooks. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, if you want to go Brandon Cooks, I'm not going to argue against you just for the price tag. And the Giants D did spend a lot of money in the offseason. Give me some Willie Snead. I do like me some Calvin Benjamin. 2 years ago when he was healthy, he was by far the most targeted player in that offense. And Cam was a little overly reliant on Benjamin, but he got 12 targets this week, which made up a little over 38% of the Panthers' target share. So there's no reason why this should change going against the 49ers, once again favored by 13 points. Give me some Calvin Benjamin. Another guy that I like also on the list, if you're going to spend up, is Allen Robinson, just because he was the number one targeted receiver. So good matchup there against San Diego. Give me some Allen Robinson. Now, here's a little contrarian corner. Bring this back. If you want to go a receiver and you don't like any of those options, I'm going to give you three names. One, Jarvis Landry. Even though Jarvis Landry, I referenced him in the week one forecast that he wasn't going to get the yards, but I'm telling you, he's going to get the targets. Going against Richard Sherman, that was just a stay away, or if you really want to be contrarian, you could have chosen him just because of the targets. But he should improve against New England, who actually gave up 30 fantasy points to Arizona wideouts and Fitzgerald with 10 targets and two touchdowns. This actually would be a better choice to play him this week as opposed to last week. On the flip side, Julian Edelman. And based on Miami's defense, he should have a nice game. He's actually had good games against Miami in all of the last three seasons. He's averaged almost 17 points in his last four games against them in this time, and seeing combined like 46 targets in that offense too. And then another guy that I liked last week one as a super sleeper was DeSean Jackson. And going against the Cowboys, he's actually puts up his best games against the Cowboys. So if you want to pick a pure contrarian, even though that's not really much of a contrarian view because their defense is not all that great. But if you want to just pick a guy out there purely on statistics and matchups, go with some DeSean Jackson. Before I get into my sleeper and my sits, I also want to comment on two rookies, or actually three, but hold on. The two rookies receivers that people are talking about is one, of course, Tajay Sharpe out there in Tennessee. And Tajay Sharpe was the, I hate to use the word, but most hyped player going into the regular season that, you know, he's the real deal. And, of course, preseason, you just take things with a grain of salt. But, hey, he looked every bit to be the number one receiver in Tennessee. The only issue with Tajay Sharpe is not the targets because he got 11, but it's just the fact that he's not a big play threat. So even though he's the team's number one, he is a possession receiver. So I'm just giving you the disclaimer about Tajay Sharpe. Sticking with the rookie theme, the other guy everybody's been talking about was Will Fuller. And he got 11 targets in week one, getting 107 yards on 5 receptions. So even though his knock in college was his inconsistent hands, and he also dropped a potential 83-yard touchdown in week one, he is definitely opposite. He is the yin to Tajay Sharpe's yang. He is the guy, if you want to go for complete upside, that can put up ridiculous numbers in a week. He is the guy. So, sleeper, third rookie, Sterling Shepard. With the over-under, again, like I said before in this game, at 53, the Giants are a 4.5-point favorite. I want me some of this action. You gotta get in on this. So if they're projected to get around, 28 points, Shepard and Cruz were each targeted 4 times and each caught a touchdown pass. And Shepard was on the field for 53 of 56 offensive snaps. Cruz, 50 of 56. Obviously, I like Shepard as the sleeper here, not Cruz. And the Giants mostly use 3 wide receiver sets. So, once again, he's a rookie, but he did look really good in his NFL debut. And it looks like even though Victor Cruz is getting involved in the passing game, it still is not taken away from Sterling Shepard. So, going into just a couple guys that I'm sitting this week is I'm sitting John Brown. He had concussion issues in the preseason, and he only played 35 snaps against the New England Patriots. So I'm staying away from him. I'm also staying away from Dez Bryant just because there's no way Dak Prescott can throw 45 times. Look for more of like a 25 number. That'd be a good range. And just the opportunity is not there this week for Dez. Randall Cobb, I'm staying away from. Traditionally, he doesn't do well against the Vikings. And they've held him to 258 yards, which is a 36.8 yards per game and 2 touchdowns in 7 career meetings. So I'm sitting him. I'm actually sitting T.Y. Hilton. And my coworker, I was talking to him about it. He has T.Y. Hilton on his fantasy team. And I can't remember the player he had, but it's a player I like. And I told him I would actually sit T.Y. Hilton this week. I told him, you still have Moncrief, you have Dorsett, you have Allen, and they have all better matchups than him facing Aqib Talib or Chris Harris as the Broncos pass defense. Lastly, tight ends this year, like I said before, I'll say it again, is pretty much almost like a crapshoot. Last week, I really liked me some Dwayne Allen. If you're going to buy into the hype, I'd buy in on him this week again. I wouldn't have any problem with that. He had a great week one, 6 targets, 4 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown, even though he's gone up to 6,600, which is, a nice, pretty big jump. He's once again, he's got a good matchup against the Broncos, who gave up the 5th most targets and 12th most points against tight ends last year. Another guy I like is Delanie Walker this week, just because he's too valuable to sit at a position, which is just so bad. I look to this as a rebound game over the Lions, and hopefully get my rebound status up a little bit since I was 0 for the century last week. So I like me some Delanie Walker. The Lions gave up like 28 points to Indianapolis tight ends last week with Allen and Doyle, who caught the 3 touchdown passes. Once again, the number one guy I'm going to have week in and week out is probably going to be Greg Olsen. If you want to spend the money for a tight end, I mean, I beat the matchup to death, but Greg Olsen's won. A couple guys that I like this week, Jason Witten for the Cowboys. Like I said, even though Dak Prescott in a perfect world won't be throwing 45 passes again, he did target Witten the most out of any of the he bailed him out a little bit. And then the other guy I like is Julius Thomas, which you have to watch the injury here. Just because he had, I believe it was the ankle. He might have tweaked his ankle. But once again, the position is just so bad. So very bad. Well, thank you again for listening to the Daily Fantasy Football Report. This is the Week 2 recap. Follow me on Twitter. I'm on it a lot, especially on Sunday mornings, looking up last-minute injuries and giving last-minute advice. So follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez, DFFR. This is Manny P signing out for the Daily Fantasy Football Report. Peace.